the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Less than a third of Americans meet physical fitness standards, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. We talk with a Wisconsin wellness educator about how new physical fitness guidelines and find out what people of all ages can do to start or improve our fitness routine. What does your workout look like? How long do you work out each week? How have you made working out a habit? How has it affected your health? Or, if you don't exercise, why not? Do you want to start? What's stopping you if you do want to start? Do you have questions about getting moving? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Carrie Zimmerman is a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Carrie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
The key takeaway of the guidelines seems to be this: get up and move. Of the changes, was there anything that struck you in particular, Carrie?
Yes, so they started to include children under 6 years old, so really getting started with those younger kids. And also getting up and moving, not necessarily moving in 10-minute bouts now, but just every time you have the opportunity, parking further away, taking the stairs, just little things like that definitely add up.
Children under 6 years old, gosh, I guess children must be a lot different than they were when mine were that age, because it was like they were constantly in motion. Do we notice a trend toward being more sedentary for our youngest?
Great question. So with all of the new technology, kids are on tablets, they're on phones, they're watching screens a lot more often than in the past. So really focusing on getting those kids out, helping them just play, that really helps aid in their growth and development, teaches them great movement skills, and helps them form healthy habits that can last for a lifetime.
Okay, so what do these guidelines tell us about how much adults need to move?
So the recommendation for adults is to engage in 150 to 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity activity, or 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous activity a week.
And that isn't anything new, because that's something we've been telling people to do for a long time, isn't it?
Right, that's similar to what it's been in the past.
Okay, so what do we mean by moderately intense activity?
Great question. So moderate intensity activity is where you're on a walk with somebody. You can carry on a conversation. You might not be able to sing if we're going by the talk test, but you're able to really carry on that conversation. Whereas vigorous activity, your heart's beating a little bit faster, you're only able to say a couple of words without stopping to take a breath.
Okay, and how, so when we talk about moderate activity, this could be running, this could be jogging, but it's more comfortable than the more intense stuff where we really are having to focus on our breathing and it is difficult to speak. What are some examples of a moderately intense activity that would be would be within the reach of most of us who maybe people don't like gyms or can't afford one or whatever, but can you give some examples of some things that we could do that would be moderately intense?
Absolutely. So, and I like how you mentioned people who might not like gyms. It's okay if you don't like to go to the gym. Finding something you enjoy is really the important part, because if you enjoy it, you're more likely to stick with it. And it varies for everybody, but walking is a great one. So you can walk your dog, play with your kids, go to the park with those kiddos. Gardening is a great one. And then more vigorous exercise, running, doing those more intense activities, shoveling when that comes around pretty soon here, things that are really getting that heart pounding.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Zimmerman is a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse, and we are talking about a new federal report saying less than a third of Americans meet fitness standards physically. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, we're trying to find out why and what we can do about it. If you work out, what's your workout look like? How long do you work out each week? And have you made it a habit? How has it affected your health? Do you struggle with getting into a routine? If you don't exercise, is that a problem? You want to start, but something's stopping you. If you have questions, Carrie is here to answer them for you at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email address is ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. The guidelines also mention or recommend resistance training, muscle strengthening activity. And what's the point of that?
Yeah, so doing strength training activities really helps keep our muscles and bones strong. This is especially important as we age. You know, it helps us reduce risk of falls, keeps those bones healthy. So that would be going to the gym and lifting weights. Also can be things like yoga, doing that gardening, doing that shoveling, anything where you're really working those muscles.
And my understanding also is that if one of your goals is to lose weight, resistance training is actually better, can be better for that than running or jogging. Is that true?
Yeah, so cardiovascular activity like running or jogging is great to get that heart in shape, but to really tone up and lose those inches, look better, feel better, you really want to include that muscle strengthening activities just to really tone up your muscles and get that look you might be looking for if you're looking to lose weight.
All right, let's take a call from George in Monroe. George, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I'm showing my age here, but I got started on exercising by reading Kenneth Cooper's work that he did with the Air Force back in the 1960s. And this wasn't just some theory. It was based on a tremendous amount of research with people in the military. And his prescription was 3 or 4 times a week to do exercise that got your heart rate elevated. And it didn't have to be, I think it was even like 20 minutes a day, a workout. And, you know, since then, I have heard people like this to say, oh, you know, you can do anything. You can garden. You can walk. I just wonder, what is the research for that? Elevating your heart rate is the key to aerobic exercise, and you do not elevate your heart rate by gardening.
All right, George, hang on. Let's get Carrie's response to that.
Sure. So when we talk about the different types of activity, the vigorous activity, the moderate activity, and even maybe a little less for the lower moderate, all activity can be different for everyone depending on what shape you're in. So if you're in really great shape, gardening might not be a great exercise for you, but it's still a good way to get active. Heavy gardening, so if you're hauling rocks and using a wheelbarrow, that might get your heart pumping. So there's different types of gardening, different types of people who are in different types of shape. In those guidelines you were speaking of, so getting active for 20 minutes a day, 4 days a week, you're really getting your heart pumping, and that would be more vigorous activity. So that's hitting that 75 minutes a week of that vigorous activity. In doing that, you want to do something where you're really getting that heart pumping.
George, thanks. Thanks for that call. Our conversation with Carrie Zimmerman, a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse, continues. The new federal guidelines aren't just for adults. So parents, grandparents, and guardians, how do you encourage children in your life to get up and move? Teachers, is exercise part of how you teach? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. A new federal report says most of us are more than just a little bit out of shape, and we really ought to get our bottoms up off the couch and get moving. Well, it didn't quite say it that way, but anyway, we need to move more. What does your workout look like? How long do you work out? How have you made it a habit, and how's that affected your health? If you don't exercise, why not? What's stopping you? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Carrie Zimmerman is our guest. She's a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. How does physical activity affect our wellness in general, Carrie?
So being physically active is going to help us not get those chronic diseases or lessen our risk. So keeping that heart healthy, keeping those muscles and bones healthy.
And with that knowledge in mind, let's look at the numbers. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, only 1 in 3 Americans meet the new guidelines. Why do you think so few people get enough exercise? What's getting in the way?
I think it's just hard for people. You know, we're working long hours, other commitments, and we have other things that we do for fun. So making sure we're really fitting in those small bouts throughout the day, getting up and walking just for a little bit, or stretching, parking further away when you are going to the grocery store or work, taking the stairs when you have the opportunity, things like that really can add up.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that one of the problems with younger children is all the screen time they get, but adults are probably just as guilty of that, maybe even more so, constantly on social media or just watching YouTube videos or something like that. We've just become a little more sedentary than we used to be, don't you think?
Absolutely. So in the past, a lot of people got their activity through their jobs. But now a lot of us are sitting in front of a computer almost all day, and then we go home and our relaxation time is sitting in front of the TV. So that leaves very little time for exercise. So we have to really focus and make sure we get that in.
Speaking of getting that in, we have a couple of calls we want to for sure get in here. Let's go to Marcus in Milwaukee first. Marcus, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I do construction. But I've found little ways to incorporate extra little bouts of exercise or whatever. When I'm sitting and relaxing at the end of my day, I'll just stretch and do some basic leg stretches, arm stretches. So I'm still watching the TV, and I've found that I'm more relaxed after stretching. One of the things I do when I'm out doing, like yard work for my own personal self, if I have to prune one of the maples in my yard, I'll grab a bow saw instead of a chainsaw, which I normally use when I'm working, because obviously people are paying for my time, so therefore I can't take my sweet time doing the work. But when I have time to do stuff in the yard, I'll use a bow saw. I purchased a push mower, like where it just has the blades that go around, which was quite strenuous at first, but it's gotten better. And I now understand why my great uncles and my grandfather had forearms that looked like Popeyes.
Marcus, thanks a lot for that call. Let's go next to Dennis in Two Rivers. Dennis, go ahead.
Hi, I'm just taking a break from some of my bouts of exercise. I do about 10 bouts or three to 5 minute bursts 10 times per day of upper body, besides 15 to 20 minutes of exercise on my bike, because that way I can do some vigorous exercise and take some time to breathe.
Breathing is good for us. Yes, we know that. Dennis, thanks for that. That leads into Marcus and Dennis, both examples of people who are getting up and moving. Carrie, another change to the newest round of federal guidelines. You used to need to do at least 10-minute bouts of aerobic activity for it to count toward the 150-minute goal, but that's no longer the case. What do the new guidelines say?
Sure. So the new guidelines say that we don't need to do those 10-minute bouts. Anything counts. So really just focusing up and getting up and moving throughout the day, and really lessening the time that we're sitting and increasing the time that we're up and moving, even if it's not for 10 minutes. It can be 2 minutes, and that's great.
All right. Let's talk to Dennis in Bloomer next. Dennis, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I just wanted to call in and let you know what my program is. I'm 75, so what I do is first thing when I get up in the morning, I do about 30 minutes on a stationary bike, and then about twice a week I do weightlifting exercise, like they're 15-pound weights, and I'll do about 90 repetitions with them. And basically what it is, it formed a habit for me. I mean, now when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is it's a habit of just getting on that bicycle and doing my 30 minutes. And then during the week, I try to do some other outside work. Like now that it's winter time, I'll go out and maybe split wood for half an hour or so every other day. So that's kind of what my routine is. And I still work full time. So.
Wow, 75, working full time, getting all that working out in. Good for you, Dennis. Carrie, we know that types of activity can vary by age. What advice would you give for older Americans?
So older Americans should still get that activity in as they're able. Same for those with chronic conditions or disabilities. It's based on how you're feeling, really. So if you can't do that more vigorous activity, that's okay, still focusing on getting up and moving throughout the day and doing as much as you're able to.
Dennis and Marcus and the people who've called in this morning are doing a great job of getting up and moving. Carrie Zimmerman is a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Carrie, is it ever too late to start exercising? Will you see benefits if you start working out for the first time later in life, for example?
Yeah, it's never too late to get started. Some benefits you see right away, just like feeling better, sleeping better, things like that. Other benefits take a little bit more time to really improve that health, but it's never too late to get started.
Callers have talked about being in a routine and doing things every day. Regular exercise is a good habit to have. What's the best way to get started? I think that may be the biggest barrier for some people is just getting that routine rolling.
That is a big barrier for people. Getting started is the hardest part, but once you get into that habit, it's going to get easier. So making sure you remember that. Also, just finding something you enjoy. If you're not enjoying your exercise routine, you're not likely to stick with it. So if you like walking, that's great. If you don't, find something else you like to do. Do a dance type of thing. Do things that feel more productive, like splitting wood, things like that.
And how can regular exercise impact our mental health?
Yeah, regular exercise is great for our mental health. A lot of people use it just as kind of a stress relief. So you're going to feel those endorphins and just feel better after you get that exercise in.
What about the long-term health consequences of not getting enough exercise over a lifetime?
Sure. So not exercising over your lifetime is going to lead to more weight gain. It's going to lead to other chronic conditions, having those higher cholesterol numbers and things like that.
For example, teachers or caregivers incorporate exercise into a child's day outside of the home? What tips do you have there?
Absolutely. So teachers and caregivers should just encourage children to get active and just play and be kids. Teachers can help by just getting those kids up and moving throughout the day, you know, doing little stretch breaks. Kids can only focus for so long. So really just getting them up throughout the day while they're teaching, incorporating activities into their lessons, things like that.
What resources can you suggest for people who want to get started or add to their current routine? Are there some websites we should be visiting, organizations we should connect with? What resources are available for us?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great resources out there. Even if you just Google things, how to get started with physical activity, there will be a ton of things coming up. Gunderson offers a Minutes in Motion physical activity challenge each spring, where we focus on encouraging people to get 30 minutes of activity every day. And that starts in the spring. Our website is gundersonhealth.org/MIM, and we offer a lot of great tips and resources with that as well.
Guidelines have changed over the years. Can we expect that to continue as more exercise research is conducted?
Absolutely. I'm sure that in the future we continue to do more research. We continue to find out what really helps us stay healthy and get healthy. So there will definitely be changes over time as we do that research.
And we haven't touched on this yet, but certainly a healthy diet is a part of making your exercise routine more effective. What's the relationship here between what we eat and how effective our exercise program can be?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's that old saying that you can't out-exercise a bad diet. So putting that exercise in, but also putting the work in the kitchen, getting those fresh fruits and veggies in, getting those whole grains and lean proteins are really important as well.
Okay, well, so that means the beer and burger diet is probably not going to help me too much.
Everything in moderation.
Okay. I was just kidding about that. I don't drink much beer. Carrie Zimmerman is a wellness education specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.